Good evening. It's Thursday night again. This is the 15th of November. It is 8:04 p.m. and this is the Natural Healing Call. And we have Harold Cohen back again. This is the third time, and he's going to talk about ozone healing treatments tonight. By the way, I have posted the information that he sent on the various treatments, things like that, and the ozone machine he's going to talk about. They're on the website under the Natural Healing page. So if anybody's interested and wants information, they can go there and look it up. So go ahead, Harold.
Okay. Have a good evening, everybody, and hopefully it brings everybody in good health. First, I'm going to cover the history, brief history of ozone. Then I get into different uses, basically just two categories of uses. One is for health, and one is for home, around the home, and in companies, and industrial and companies and food industry. Those are two basic categories. All right, let me get into the history. Ozone has been used medically to disinfect and treat disease since its discovery. In 1896, Nikola Tesla patented the first ozone generator in the United States. Ozone has been used as a safe and effective water purifier for more than a century. Ozone deactivates pathogenic microbes in the human body in much the same way it does in water. Unsurprising, since our bodies are made up of 70% water. During World War I, the physicians applied ozone topically to infected wounds because of its antibacterial properties. Later, they discovered that it had broader therapeutic applications. Thanks to its anti-inflammatory properties, in the late 1980s, German physicians began successfully treating HIV patients with ozone. Although there are some practitioners within the U.S. who administer ozone, it remains a relatively uncommon treatment even today. Ozone is well-respected therapy in many parts of the world. In Germany, it is the standard care and is used by 70 to 80% of practicing physicians. One of the leading anti-cancer ozone therapy practitioners from Germany, Dr. Horst Kief, K-I-E-F, first came to the U.S. over 30 years ago when he was invited to speak at a conference organized by the Foundation for Advancement of Cancer Therapies. He has since reported reversal of AIDS with ozone, as have other physicians in Germany. There are over 3,000 references in the German medical literature referring to the use of medical ozone therapy. In fact, it is considered medical malpractice to not use ozone pre- and post-surgery instead of antibiotics. Cuba and India have whole facilities devoted to ozone treatment and research. Russia, too, is a fan of ozone. Though there is no therapy studies as much as ozone worldwide, with only cortisone and prednisone coming in close seconds, why isn't ozone therapy available in the U.S.? Why is ozone used in other countries and not routinely in the U.S.? In the United States, ozone therapy operates as a poor cousin to the more traditionally accepted mainstream and more toxic treatments. It boils down to profit margins. Russia and Cuba have socialized medicine, which is not about making a profit. Germany, after the war, was poor, and India is still considered a developing nation today. Oxygen is cheap. In fact, oxygen is free. To make ozone from oxygen, one only needs a small generator and an oxygen concentrator. Neither is expensive, and neither offers the possibility of massive profit margins. The healing power of ozone. Ozone is the most powerful and rapidly acting oxidizing agent on Earth. One molecule of ozone is equal to in its activity to between 3,000 to 10,000 molecules of chlorine. It is the best killer of harmful pathogenic organisms. Did you know that ozone only takes 10 seconds to kill 99% of bacteria, fungi, yeast, mold, and viruses, 3,500 times faster than chlorine? Last but not least, it has been shown to kill cancer cells upon contact. Ozone therapies, many healing mechanisms of actions are believed to include inactivation of bacteria, viruses, fungi, yeast, and protozoa, stimulation of oxygen metabolism, activation of the immune system. Ozone is very effective at fighting so many afflictions because it operates at the foundational level of the body, the body cells. Otto Warburg's Nobel Prize-winning discovery in 1925 changed forever what we know about cancer, its causes and cures. He understood that when the body cells are deprived of 40% of their normal supply of oxygen, pathogenic changes begin to happen inside the cells. So Otto Warburg was awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine for discovering that the lack of health that exists in every cancer condition has to do with impaired oxygen, less respiration of the body cells. In Warburg's own words, cancer is only one prime cause. The prime cause of cancer is replacement of normal oxygen respiration. Let's see, what else can go? I think that's a good summary so far. I mean, I'm not going to go into a lot of details. I'll be here for an hour. Okay, let's get into some other things now. Okay, general uses. Here's the other paper. Hold on a sec. As I said, there's two main uses for ozone. One is health and one is home and for company use. First is for water sanitizing. If you want to ensure that your water spill is free of germs, there's bacteria and viruses, then you can ozonate the water. I'll get into how we're going to ozonate it later and what ozone generator I suggested I have myself. And many doctors that I do know that do practice ozone therapy use a generator like this. The second is drinking ozone water kills bacteria and viruses in the body, specifically in the stomach and colon. You have to create basically the ozonate the water, and you have to drink it within a half hour of ozonating that water for a maximum effect. Another use of ozone, if you ozonate water with fruits and vegetables in the water in the container, this sanitizes and eliminates fertilizer from fruits and vegetables, and it will last about 3 months. Another use, now we're getting into, some uses for health. If someone has an ear infection, you can basically get a special type of Q-tips they have. Look at the brand name. I can look it up if anybody wants it. A nurse practitioner, a friend of mine, uses that. The Q-tip has a hot tube, stick, and you just break off one end and leave the cotton part on the other end. And then she fills a syringe without a needle, that is. She fills a syringe with ozone, and she gives about 10 milliliters, 10 cubic centimeters of ozone in the ear, fill with the Q-tip inside the ear. So if there are any ear infections, it'll kill the germs. Another method of introducing ozone into the body is through the rectum. You have a special syringe that has an elongated nozzle on the end. That's used as well. That's commonly used by those who practice ozone therapy. Another means of using it, let's say you have a wound that has difficulty healing, let's say on your arm, forearm, wherever. You basically, it's something that the category is called insufflation. You take a plastic and you tape it on the wound, over the wound, and you leave a space where you can get a syringe elongated without a needle that's been pre-filled with ozone in it, and then you press the plunger on the syringe and fill the plastic covering over the wound with the ozone gas. You can stay that way for hours or even overnight, and it'll help the wound to heal and eliminate any possible even infection. Another use of ozone would be to take olive oil, and you would ozonate the olive oil. I'll get into more details later, by the way, of all the stuff I'm covering so far. Ozonate the olive oil, and you can refrigerate it, and it'll last. The ozone in the olive oil will last for up to a year if you refrigerate it. You can use it for moisturizing the skin, killing germs on the skin, as if you had an antibiotic, and also increase the oxygen in the scalp and may promote hair growth. providing you still have hair follicles in a place, of course. Another use of ozone is used to ozonate a room to eliminate odors, but everyone, including pets, plants, must leave the room. And then you have to open up the windows and air it out afterwards. You won't want to go in a room that's full of ozone, highly concentrated ozone, because it could injure your lungs. Okay. There's a unit that Jan mentioned. There's a unit that I recommend. That's a company called A2ZOzone.com. That's A as in apple, T as in Tom, O as in oxygen, ZOzone.com. And they sell commercial-grade ozone generators. I specifically recommend the MP5000. I know a doctor has an MP3000, but the capabilities of this is far beyond that. You can run this generator 24 hours a day, literally. It's designed for that, even, especially if you want to generate ozonated oil. The unit I recommend is an MP, M as in Mary, P as in Peter, 5000 multipurpose ozone generator. You can use that for ozonating water and for medical uses as well. It's also used for, besides purifying water and health uses, you can put bath water with ozone in it, and also for your plants as well. It'll oxygenate them. There's many uses for it. They offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. I've been using that generator for years. I've never had a problem with it. I also uploaded, I gave to Jan to upload, in which I have a table which I calculated for proper ozone concentrations for different uses. On the machine, it has a setting on there in percent setting on the MP5000. If you're going to ozonate water, you're going to go 100%. If you're going to use it for, let's say, insufflation, then I would go like covering the skin with the plastic and putting gas in the plastic and then having it sealed. I would go at 70% level. Of course, in the future, anybody has any questions, you can give me a shout, email, a call, or whatever, and I'll answer any of your questions, and I'm sure you're going to have many, on how to use it. Amazon occasionally sells the A to Z ozone MP5000 ozone generator. I didn't say I looked on it recently. I didn't see it there. I guess they bought a lot of them already. But that's an absolute generator that I would get. Let's see now. There's also other ozone generators that they use for swimming pools, by the way. There's an ozone generator specifically meant for swimming pool use in place of chlorine. And as far as electricity, you use very little compared to a few other things that you can connect to the pool, like a filter. You know, it'll actually reduce the necessary use of the filter and cutting down on the amount of hours to use a filter. Just look, the ozone generator for pool use will kill the bacteria and algae in the pool. At this point, are there any questions of what I covered so far? By anyone? Hello? Anybody have any questions?
I guess not yet.
Not yet. All right. I'll give you some other background. The world expert in oxygen ozone therapy is Vilio Bocci. He's in Italy. And there, and as well as in, I understand, Great Britain as well, they use ozone to directly inject into cancerous and non-cancerous tumors, and it destroys them. However, you have to drink a lot of water, like in right frequency generators. There's a Herxheimer effect, whereby all the germs come out a lot at very high concentrations. You have to drink a lot of water to flush it out of your body. The same thing occurs, Herx effect, or Herxheimer effect is the actual name, occurs when you use ozone. You have to drink more water. Of course, you'll be drinking regular water after you use the ozone water. And if you do a rectal application for cancer people, actually, patients get treated that way too. The general treatment for there's two categories of using ozone medically. One is called ozone therapy. The other one is called prozone therapy. Okay, ozone therapy is going to either be a rectal injection, you know, without a hypodermic needle. There's a special syringe for that. Usually it's 60 milliliters. You usually start out like 20 milliliters, okay, at a time. And that goes into the body through the rectum. It goes through into the bloodstream, and it kills germs in the bloodstream. The common method, however, is you take blood out of someone's arm, usually around 50 milliliters, around that, which is the same thing as 50 cubic centimeters, and you inject it into the bag where you have electrolyte, which is a combination of sodium mixed with potassium. You inject it into there, and then you inject ozone gas into that same bag. So now you have your blood, which was taken out of your arm. You then have the electrolyte for balancing it, and now you have ozone gas in there, right? So now it gets reintroduced into the body through the other arm, where you, not the arm which you took the blood out of, as an intravenous. And it's all, many times they, what they do is common, in which they take the tube where the combination blood, ozone, and electrolyte is mixed, and it passes through an ultraviolet light source, which is a special thing that's set up for that, but the tube goes through it, and basically it makes sure that it's all nice and clean and no germs are in there. It's all sterile. And then it's reintroduced back into the body. That is commonly used for cancer patients. They do it a lot, especially in Europe, especially in Italy, and I think they even do it in Canada too, besides England. They do it in different parts of the world. Not over here, thanks to Big Pharma using chemotherapy. So I covered that. Ozone therapy. Prozone therapy differs from ozone therapy is that in which it directly injects ozone gas into muscles or joints. It could be in a knee, it could be in a hip, it could be in a shoulder, you know, and they find that it controls pain. And also ozone gas has the activity of being able to regrow cartilage in some cases, depending how bad it is. If it's very bad, of course, you're not going to grow all that cartilage back. So those are the two categories, the two basic medical categories and uses. Any questions at this point? Anyone? I'll go further then. I say less than 1% of all the medical doctors and dentists in the entire United States know anything about it, about ozone, the uses of ozone, unfortunately. There's an organization called AAOT.us. That's an American Academy of Ozonotherapy. And they certify physicians, board certified physicians, after you take their examination. To qualify either ozone therapy or prozone therapy. But less than one, even though it's available, less than 1% of all physicians in the United States know anything about it or use it. Fortunately, I know some physicians who do use it. I know a nurse practitioner friend of mine and a doctor friend of mine in New York City. I know for over 35 years he's been using it. I highly recommend it. You can go to, if anyone's interested in having a doctor that does use ozone therapy or prozone therapy in your area where you live, then you go to AAOT.us, and there's a directory there listing health professionals who use ozone in their daily practice. Any questions at this point? Hello? Anyone? No one has any questions? Anybody thinking of any specific uses that you think that you could use it for? And you have a question about that?
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
I'd like to know specifically your also if you have any studies or do you know of uses for it for mild cognitive impairment?
For what? I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that.
It's called mild cognitive impairment. I
can definitely tell you about that. I have a friend of mine, a woman I worked with for, my God, over 20 years, and her husband had a stroke a few years back. It got to the point where it was so bad that he was sleeping most of the time, and he had no cognition whatsoever, except occasionally when he would eat, right? He didn't have to get up. So I made ozonated water, concentrated ozonated water for her. You had to put it in certain containers. In this case, I used stainless steel. You can't use regular plastic. It'll eat up the plastic. So I brought it to her, in the afternoon. And she had him drink it, 8 ounces of it. And she also drank it herself. And she found that the next morning I got a call that he was totally alert and that he was using the controller for his TV and he could started talking somewhat already when before he was just out totally. Well, I thought I'd try that for a main reason. Ozone is not O2, it's O3. It has an additional molecule of oxygen that's not steady in there. So as if you drink it, it'll bind into your body, that extra molecule. So it got into his bloodstream and it went to his brain and put more concentrated oxygen into his brain. And he was very calm. He was much more. He woke up literally from the dead the way he was before, just sleeping all the time. And from that point on, she's been using that too. Another good thing besides ozone therapy, ozone, drinking ozone water, that specific case I personally experienced with a friend of mine, is that they also use, barrack chambers, where you have concentrated oxygen under pressure, and you go into this chamber, and you're there for a while, like an hour or so, a couple of hours, until they get down the concentration and you can come out to the same atmospheric pressure as they have outside. And that's been found to improve cognizant functions. It's actually been found to be help people who have Alzheimer's even. Does that answer your question?
Well, yes.
I would recommend you could start get an ozone generator connected to what you have to do is you have to get a certain air stone. You'll find it on the side, A to Z ozone. You get an air stone. You're going to use the, there's two type of tubes you could use, a Teflon tube or a silicon tube. It'd be easier to use a silicon tube. And you put an air stone at the end of it, right? And you put that in the water. And then that'll ozonate the water. You let it go, if you have 16 ounces of water, I'll let it go for a half hour. And 100% concentration on that unit. And then you just, you can take 8 ounces now and then refrigerate the other 8 ounces, and you drink it immediately. And you'll see there's going to be you'll see a difference. Absolutely, you'll see a difference.
That's good. Unfortunately, some lawyers have a problem. You know, when the legal people get involved, they cause trouble. So I would like to know, do you know of any studies of ozone and mild cognitive impairment?
I told you about... You know, people use hyperbaric chambers with concentrated oxygen, ozone is also to be used. Of course, you're not going to you never want to breathe in ozone directly. I can tell you that right off the bat. You can put it in water, and that'll increase the oxygen in your body. I can look up other studies if you want. I could do that. I'm sure there's plenty of them out there. You can even look it up yourself. You see, there's plenty out there, which I've used up for that.
Oh.
I have a study for Alzheimer's. I found improvement using ozone.
Well, it's mild cognitive impairment is often turns into Alzheimer's if you don't take care of it.
No, I'm not talking about it. There's not to be Alzheimer's. There's not
no,
to be
I
Alzheimer's.
Know that, but that's, so that's what I'm looking for. I'll thank you. I appreciate it.
No, I would definitely. I'm giving you an actual example, where someone had a stroke, and it helped them immediately. By the next morning, he was pretty much functioning. When before he wasn't functional at all, and even a neurologist couldn't believe it.
Well,
that her husband was going to.
Well, yeah. Well, that's too simple. I understand. I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime, if you have any other questions, you know, I think I'll give you, I have Halco, H-A-L-C-O-H, at gmail.com. That's my email. You can write. I get into any details you want. I can explain how to use that machine inside out. I've been going beyond that. I've been used it for most of the uses you've heard. It's also used for dentistry, by the way. Some dentists use ozone injected into a gum. Someone has an infection of the gum. They would inject ozone into the gum, and that acts just like an antibiotic. Most pathogenic germs, I think actually all pathogenic germs, let me rephrase that, are anaerobic. Anaerobic means that the germs live in a low oxygen environment. When you introduce oxygen, it kills the pathogenic germs. That's bacteria or viruses. Also, parasites are like that, too. Parasites like low oxygen environments. Any other questions for anyone else? Any other uses you could consider using it for?
Well, I have another question.
Sure.
Does it kill off the bad microorganisms in the gut where there's not really a blood supply?
If you drink the water, it'll kill it in the stomach and basically the colon. If you want in your body, right, then you'd have to have the total ozone therapy. Basically, you're going to take blood out of my arm, about typically 50 milliliters, put it in the electrolyte solution, you know, salt and fat, right? And then they inject ozone, concentrated ozone gas in that bag, and they give you an intravenous back in the other arm. And then it'll get into all your cells. That's the only way it'll get into your cells. Really, really heavy duty, contraindicated to ever to give a direct ozone injection in a vein or an artery. If you look on AAOT, American Academy of Ozonotherapy, they will not let any physician, anyone who does that, they'll bar them because you can wind up getting a stroke and other things that could happen. To you. You can get a blood clot if they did it directly in there, but if it was mixed with the electrolyte, that would never happen. I heard of one doctor that I know, a nurse practitioner friend of mine who practices this, told me about that. She found out they did that. She refused to work with him any longer because he was giving direct injections of ozone in someone's arm. That's ridiculous. He doesn't know what he was doing, and he wasn't even certified. Yeah, so the answer to your question is yes. You have to have full ozone therapy, taking out blood out of your arm, putting it in an electrolyte, mixing it with ozone gas, concentrated ozone gas, and then giving an IV back into your other arm, and then it'll go into your bloodstream and go into all your body cells. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Also, I just have a lot of questions. How young can you give it? What's the lowest age of a person you can give it to?
I don't know the lowest age. I don't think it's any established. The way the procedure I just told you?
Well, any kind of ozone to, say, an infant. I'm not...
Oh, if you're drinking my water, I don't think there's any problem. You're drinking in water, ozonated water, no problem.
Oh.
I don't think there's any limit. I'm not going to say an infant. I'm not going to say an infant. But, you know, a child, a few years old or more, yes. And there's no problem. There'll be no problem.
All right, well.
I wouldn't give to an infant. It's, you know, where its sensitivities are and, you know.
Oh, how about, just things come up to me. I belong to an eczema, on Facebook, well, I used to have eczema quite severely, so I belong to an eczema group on Facebook, and these people are suffering terribly. It's very, very severe.
Oh, we would like to, then they can take, what I would recommend, is they could take the ozonate olive oil that's commonly used for skin conditions and put it on their skin, let's say a couple of times a day. At least once a day, but it has to be every day, probably for at least a month. They'll moisturize the skin and kill any germs that are on the skin as well. They'll also oxygenate the cells on the skin as well and improve blood circulation. Something that would be helpful for them. I don't know if there's any studies with use with eczema. I'm sure it could be helpful to a degree.
Yeah, I'm sure it couldn't hurt.
No, it's not going to hurt. But however, to generate that ozonated olive oil, you're talking, I would say, 6 to 12 hours, at least 6 hours, depending on how much olive oil you're putting there, that you'd have to run that ozone generator for. Oh, let me point out one more thing. For health purposes, okay, not for room purposes, getting odors out of the room, you would have to hook up an oxygen tank to it. Oxygen tank will be 99% oxygen. It's not 100%. Never is. Even, you know, you don't have to get a prescription for it, really. If you get industrial grade, it's the same thing as medical grade. It's 99% oxygen. And you don't need a prescription. You could get it a tank, let's say a size D or E. I don't know, if you're talking about a carrier with wheels and all, maybe $80 to $85. Filling up the tank would be like $20-$24 every 2 or 3 months if you're using it constantly. So it's no big deal. The ozone generator I recommend, because I know obviously I have other units, and I know this is better, the best, in my opinion, obviously I've seen, is an MP5000 from A to Z Ozone. That's $349.99. It's on sale now. When I bought it, it cost me $400 for that same unit. But it's commercial grade, and you could use it for any purpose that you want. Health purposes, and for your vegetables and fruits, it gets rid of the fertilizer on the coatings. It removes the coatings of the fertilizer on your fruits and vegetables. And they last for 3 months, a good 3 months. There's a place by me, there's a farm in which they use that for apples. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yes, Harold. When you make the oxygenated oil, olive oil, or water, and you set it up and let the airstone run through it, is it okay to be in the room with it when you do that, or do you put it somewhere else while you're making it?
Yeah. No, you can be in a room. I mean, if you smell it and it bothers you, then you should leave. But you're not going to be right up to it. Now, and let me give you a special case. A special case when you're doing ozonating olive oil. Now you're talking a lot of hours, right?
Right, right.
To be safe, then there's something called an ozone destructor. What you would do is the following. You'd have a container, which you have two holes in it, let's say about a quarter of an inch, and there's couplings you can get on the side from A to Z Ozone, and you put them in there. And a tubing will go from the output of the ozone generator into the top of the cap from the sealed jar, which you have a sealed cap, you tighten it on. It goes into there, we have water, and the air stone is underneath that, coming out of the tube inside of there. And then it ozonates the water. The other side, you have another coupler, and you have another tube coming out of that, but you're not having any hose going in the bottle with that. It's just getting the excess ozone gas out of that tube. That'll be connected to an ozone destructor. It's a tube about 12, 14 inches long, I'd say 12 inches long. And that tube from coming out of that bottle would go into the ozone destructor. And from the ozone destructor, you have another tube that I put in a container with water. You just see bubbling, but you're no longer going to have ozone in there. That'd be the best way of doing it.
Right. But for just water, you shouldn't need it for just...
I know a doctor who basically the patients have a problem, let's say upper respiratory tract infection, have them breathe it in a little bit of the ozone gas directly. Just a sniff in once, and that's it. And he's found that that's helpful for an upper respiratory tract infection to kill the germs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally practice that.
Yeah.
As I mentioned to you personally before, Chan, that in the past, that occasionally... If I have a bad hip, years back I had a free fall in an elevator, and I injured both of my hips. The right hip was so bad that I had to have it replaced. My left hip I occasionally inject with ozone gas directly in my hip. Of course, not going on the inner part of the thigh, just that you have a femoral artery and it could bleed to death. So I go on the outer side of my left hip and between two muscles. I go right in between there. I can just inject right in, and 15 minutes later, if I have any pain, it's all gone. I can hop, skip, and jump on that hip. And also, it tends to regrow some of the cartilage.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily, I've been able for years avoid having a replacement left hip by using ozone. Of course, most people out there are not going to have the courage like me, and I had some training, so... to inject themselves. But it can be used for if you have the elbow, shoulder, knee. They commonly use it in the knee, by the way. And hip, it can be injected. You can look online, you see on YouTube, there's actual videos on using prolozone therapy, ozone injections in joints. You actually see it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Some doctors take advantage on that. This is really inexpensive to generate the ozone. Some doctors, I've heard one of you takes advantage of people, I guess one in Long Island, Nassau County, I'm in Suffolk County, charges $300 per injection.
Yeah.
I think that's insane, it's taking advantage.
Yeah.
You know? Any other questions? Anybody has any thoughts on how they may be able to use it for themselves, any condition or friend or relative?
Other than inhaling for nasal problems, what would you recommend? Inhaling the gas.
You have what, sinusitis?
Small allergies to different things.
Oh, I see. Allergies is a different story. The drying of the nose is something that you can get online. Amazon.com or Life is using it. It's called a diffuser, an oil diffuser, but you can use it with water. You take water. You put it in that unit, preferably filtered water or distilled. And then, let's see, what is she using there? Some oil that even her ear, nose, and throat doctor told her to use. Let's see now. I'm trying to think. Oh, eucalyptus oil, 2 or 3 drops in the water. And then they use a diffuser. It acts as a humidifier.
But right.
it's a small unit. It's maybe 6-8 inches high, and you plug it in. It has an adapter that's the same type of thing they use for a phone. It only uses 5 volts. And it'll last for the night. You can make different settings on it. You can make it on every 30 seconds, off every 30 seconds, you know. But her ear, nose, and throat doctor actually recommended that unit. I think it's $16.95 on Amazon. Oil diffuser, which the name is blue colored, and you put water up into the water line that it gives you, but first you put in 2 or 3 drops of eucalyptus oil, and then you put the water in there, and then you run it. That should help.
But nothing using ozone, though.
Ozone, no. You're talking about allergies. But for dryness, that'll be for dryness of the nose.
Yeah.
Help you breathe better. Keep it moist, especially in the wintertime. When you have heat on, it'll dry out your nostrils. Wait, are you talking about allergies that occur year-round or just in the summertime?
No, just on exposure. About the only one I have left is somewhat to cat dander.
Okay. Allergy shots? My wife gives allergy shots. We have a cat. And she's allergic to cats. We've had a cat almost 20 years. Mm. For almost 20 years. We have another cat now. He died, but that cat I treated with the right frequency generator, and I cured him of lymphoma. He lasted another 5 years. I guess over the years, he developed allergies to cats, so she has to get weekly allergy shots. They desensitize her to our cat. It would be good for you, too. When I was a boy, a teenager, I was allergic to, my God, 22 different things. I had to get shots weekly. It takes about a year.
Yeah.
Become greatly desensitized to those things. They start at a low level.
That.
They increased the concentration of the allergens, what you're allergic to.
No. I did that and tried it for a year and a half, and it didn't do anything. So is there any other oil other than eucalyptus you can use?
Well, that's what her doctor, I know, recommended. There's something else. If you tend to get a sinusitis or infection, you can do something called Euprimacin. 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 I think it's 0.2%. It's an antibiotic. And they recommend to mix it with, let's say, take saline. You know, there's a brand called Neil, N-E-I-L-L, where he gives you a bottle in which you can squeeze it with the distilled water mixed with the salt, purified salt, into one nostril, and it comes out the other nostril. Then you blow it out, and you do the same thing for the other nostril. It's called N-E-I-L-L. And you have a bottle. They give you a squeeze bottle, specially made that you fill it to the water with distilled water. Then he gives you saline packets. Each one is for 8 ounces of water. And you mix, put it in there, it dissolves pretty much, very quickly. It's purified salt, there's no impurities. And what he does, recommends is also to take mupirocin, a little bit of that antibiotic, and put it in the bottle, squeeze it in the ointment, and then there's a hole, the hole at the end of the bottle, and shake it up so the antibiotic mixes with the water, and then squeeze it and to infuse each nostril, and then blow it out. Those also treat your nostrils and also treat your sinuses. They kill germs.
Have you ever used colloidal silver with a diffuser?
I have a colloidal silver generator on wounds. I've used it on my cat. I use colloidal silver. I wouldn't be careful drinking colloidal silver a lot. I know there's one politician who turned bluish-gray, his skin. He drank a lot of it.
Massively overdosed. Yeah. Nobody in their right mind would do
but
that.
Topically, like in wartime, before antibiotics, they used colloidal silver, and they used it on soldiers on their wounds. They used colloidal silver.
And burns, too, yeah.
Yeah. They used that, too. That's wartime. Yeah, I have one handy over here. I use it occasionally. For any wounds or anything, probably, as I said, insufflation with ozone, take plastic, tape it on, around the periphery of the plastic over the wound area that has a difficulty, let's say, healing, and then you inject ozone gas in there and then seal it off totally. That's commonly done. Yeah. Unfortunately, not many places are familiar with it, but I had to educate my orthopedic doctor on it, and he's getting involved in that now. I got rid of the old orthopedic doctor I had. He was totally not open-minded at all. What can I say? That's the way it is. Part of the old establishment, the same regime.
There's a lot of them that aren't open-minded out there, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mentioned something, you know. Luckily, when I was young, I had a doctor who was rare, and I got interested in a lot of stuff. I wanted to be a pathologist, actually. And he, for many years, when I was 12 years old to 17 years of age, he let me use his lab, you know, his microscope and stuff like that, and he taught me how to do different tests. In those days, there's no such thing, go to the lab and get a test. No. He did everything in his office. He was often there at 10 o'clock at night every day, and he's doing the tests. For checking specific gravity, there's something called a refractometer. You can check, you put a drop of urine on there, and it's like a prism, and you have a thing, you have a gauge on there, and it shows you the specific gravity of your urine. If it goes below a certain level, you know, you have a kidney problem, you know. There's another refractometer for determining sugar level, glucose level, and urine also, and you could use that too. So he had these type of things, which many doctors don't even know about today, and you never had to go to a lab. You can do all the tests over there, you know. I learned how to do a lot of things, even blood count, and he taught me all that stuff. And then when it's time to go to college, I'm 17 years old, he starts talking me out of it. I said, why, yeah. After all these years, why? Just use it for yourself and your family. So give me a big reason why. Why should I not go and be a pathologist? One, the life expectancy of a clinician, and especially a pathologist that comes in contact with a lot of germs, is less than the general population. And I checked that. That's true. That's a biggie. And this is many years ago. I'm talking 1960s now, you know. That he was telling me this is ahead of his time, before people were getting injected accidentally with needles in the hospital, you know, nurses and doctors, you know, getting AIDS and all that stuff. This is even before his time. I thought about it, and then I must have thought, maybe he contracted, the reason he told me that is that maybe he contracted an illness from one of his patients. Maybe that's why.
That's interesting you bring that up as an occupational hazard. I don't know if you ever read All Creatures Great and Small, that whole series they had in there.
I didn't.
A person that was called the Knacker. And what the Knacker did is he took all the dead animals from the farms around and he cut them up and made dog food and stuff out of them. And he worked with his bare hands all the time on these dead animals and so on and so forth. He was never sick a day in his life. He'd stop and eat a sandwich and stuff. His immunity must have been out of sight just from having handled his stuff all his life, you know?
Yeah. There's a comedian that has a routine about that. I forgot his name. That he always ate a dirty environment and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Swept in the dirty water, East River, I think in Manhattan, all that stuff. He has a comedian. I think his name is Chris, let's see, what's his name? Chris Porter, I think was his name. Chris Porter. I think he's on YouTube. Look it up. You know, it's hysterical.
Yeah.
He's very good. There's another comedian that's equal and better, is John Panette. Did you ever hear him?
No, I have not.
All right. I guess when we get off, send me your, look up, as a matter of fact, I don't have to send you a DVD. Look at YouTube, look up John Panette. P as in Peter, I-N-E as in Edward, T-T-E. John Panette. Unfortunately, he died in August of 2014. Mm-hmm. But look at the one that says, still hungry. That's one of his routines. He was overweight. Still hungry is the first one. and the second Bertini has is I'm Starving. He won Best Comedian Award in Montreal. They had a contest years back. He's fantastic. In my opinion, he's the gold standard of comedy. John Panette.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, we're getting off topic here.
Yeah. Another kind of off-topic thing. Last week we had Cheryl Kirby scheduled to come in, and she didn't show. Come to find out, she lived in Paradise, California, and the whole town burned down. She lost her house and all this. She did survive, and she has a YouTube coming up at 10 o'clock Eastern time. If anybody's interested, I could give you the YouTube address, maybe.
10 o'clock, this is, and what's she covering?
She's covering what happened in Paradise. Survived, I guess.
I've seen that. I saw something from, the story they're giving is that a campfire caused it, right?
Edward
Griffin says no, there was an old nuclear plant over there and it could have started from there.
Yeah. But this is her experience.
I read an article she had recently the other day. Griffin. An article says it could have come from nuclear power plant that was had to be turned off because they had an accident. The fire could have come from there. That's what I don't know exact reasoning behind that, but you know.
No.
I'll be busy later after this, but I have to do some things for my wife, so I can't.
Yeah.
Any other questions for anyone? No.
Now is your chance because it's time to shut down. We've got 4 minutes till the start of the next call.
Okay.
Going once, going twice,